some of my favorite movies of all time are football movies. Matter of fact, I'm not going to tell you who I'm pulling for tonight, but who I'm pulling for tonight is actually based on a movie. Some of my favorite movies, have you seen the movie Invincible? Right? The story of Vince Papale, the local boy who played for Philadelphia back in the days. He kind of proved it didn't matter what your ranking was in the NFL draft to have a big difference on the team. Another one of my favorite movies is the movie Rudy. How many have seen Rudy? All right? Doesn't matter how big you are. It's about perseverance that allows you to finally earn your space on the team. And of course, Remember the Titans. If you're going to talk about movies, right? High school team, how racial division could make a team or break a team. That's certainly true. Unity on any team can make it or break it. And then, of course, someone said this was a sad movie, but We Are Marshall, right? The story of a team that overcame devastation to grab hold of their first game of victory after their loss. There's a football slogan that is said a lot. Matter of fact, if any of you in the room played any sports at all, you probably heard your coach at some point say this phrase that I'm going to preach about this morning. Today I want to talk about this one phrase. It's simply this: victory happens off the field. All right? How many heard that before? All right? Victory happens off the field. Would you say that with me out loud on your mark, get set, go? Victory happens off the field. One thing all those movies have in common is that it kind of proves to us it doesn't matter how you play on Sunday or Friday night. A lot of your success in any sport is not determined just on the event, on the field. It actually is determined a lot by how you practice, how you prepare, how you live, how you get ready for that big game. And I want to tell you, that's not just true in football. That's true in all of life. And it's really true for us specifically as believers. Matter of fact, Jesus even preached a message where he said, victory happens off the field. Right now, I'm kind of using my own words, and some of you don't believe me. So let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. You're going to see where Jesus actually preached a message that you could call a victory happens off the field. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said this: be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. For if you do, you'll have your reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. It's what happens off the field, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Now, Jesus isn't opposed to us doing good deeds for and allowing people to see them. Matter of fact, Jesus said, so let your light so shine before others that they'll see your good works and give praise to your Father, which is in heaven. Right? We know that. But he's preaching this message that it's not just about that. He's basically preaching, don't let your deeds just be seen in public. Let them also be a matter of things you do. Let your relationship not be a public persona only, but let it be something that is real and a part of your life. And so let's pray about that this morning. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your word that never returns void, but always goes forward to accomplish what you meant for it to accomplish. And I pray that is what will happen in the next minutes of time today, that we will hear the Spirit speak to us through this word. Father, anoint me above my own ability to speak your words and your words alone. Anoint our ears, our hearts, and our mind to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us. And we'll give you thanks and praise. And all God's people said, amen. How many would agree that as a culture, we celebrate what happens on the field, right? Matter of fact, if you're good enough, if you're popular enough, if your performance on the field is to a certain level, we really don't care what you do off the field. Wow, I've already hit you in the mouth already, haven't I? Right? Right? That's our culture. Our culture says as long as your performance is a certain way in the spotlight, then we really don't care what you act like out of the spotlight. But Jesus shows up and he basically turns that concept, that thought process, he turns it around like a 180 and he says, no. It's not just about what people think about you. It's not just how you perform when others are looking. What really matters in your life, what really brings spiritual victory to your life is not what people see, but it's about what God sees. Amen? And you can sit there and say, well, Pastor, I thought God sees everything. He does see everything. And that's our problem. He knows when our spiritual depth and our spiritual practice is simply a facade. He knows when it's just a performance. He knows when our relationship with God is just something we put on when people are watching. But what he's after is someone who is taking their faith and letting it work in them and through them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year. That's what it means to really have victory and really have success in your life. That's how the power of God shows up in your life. When you understand that victory doesn't happen in the moment of crisis, but victory happens every moment of our lives when we choose to serve him, period. Amen? And we as a culture, we spend a lot of time putting forth the right image. Right? I mean, we don't take a picture and put it on Facebook. We take 20 pictures, and then we pick out the one we like to put on Facebook, right? And so we spend a lot of time and a lot of efforts as a culture posting the right thing, but are we really focusing on being the right thing? We spend a lot of time and just making sure I Instagram the right image of what I want people to see, but are we really focusing on what God wants us to be? Are we just focusing on what we want people to see? Because I want to tell you, if you will focus on what God's called you to be, then what people will see will take care of itself. But if your only focus is on what people see, then the rest is going to fall apart. Because victory in the believer's life really does happen off the field. So how can we make sure that our private lives are sustaining and setting up a big enough platform for us to be the men and women and preach the lives we're supposed to preach, live the lives we're supposed to live? How can we make sure that our life is building a grand enough platform to handle the pressures of this life? And I want to tell you tonight, or this morning, it really happens in what we do off the field. It really happens with what we do when people aren't watching and people we don't think are listening. I want to tell you, victory in your marriage happens off the field. Amen. Amen. It happens. You can't fake your way into marital bliss. How many of you discover that? Right? You can't fake it. Victory in your family happens off the field. Jeannie Mayo, who's been titled America's Youth Pastor, said this statement probably 20 years ago, and it's so registered in my mind. She said, when it comes to ministering to kids, and I've discovered this works in families as well, she wrapped all of youth ministry in this one statement, and here's what she said. He who spends the most time wins. And she's basically propagating that if we allow only the world to invest in our children, and we never do, guess what? The world's going to win. Because our kids are who sees us 24/7. They know the real us. And so it's the ones that is who we are off the field that makes the greatest impact. Someone once said, it's not what we teach our kids that makes a big difference. It's what our kids catch from us that make the big difference. And we don't get to choose what they catch from us. Right? They're just going to catch what is coming out of us naturally. So it's what happens off the field. And I'll just tell you, anybody in the room today who's ever thought for one moment they want to be used by God in ministry, and I'm not talking about full-time ministry like I'm doing this morning. I'm talking about ministry in any capacity. If you want to reach out to your coworkers, if you want to have an effect on your family or your friends, on your school, I want to tell you, for those that have responded, say, yeah, I want my life to count. You especially, hear me this morning. If you want your life to count for God, you must understand victory through God happens off the field. It happens when no one's watching. It happens when no one's looking. It happens in those moments that you think it doesn't matter. Those are the moments that matter the most. And so how can we make sure that we're embracing the victory that God has for our life? I want to give you three or four ways this morning from Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6. And this is really basic, but I want to tell you, I've discovered it's not the complex things that transform our lives. It's the simple word of God applied. And so I want to share the simple word of God with you this morning. Here's the first thing. If we're going to have victory and success in our lives, the first thing we got to do is we must withdraw for prayer off of the field. Jesus made a big deal about not just praying when people are watching and praying in church and praying when it's convenient and praying when it's called for. But Jesus said that when you pray, go into your room and the God who hears your prayer. How many are glad to know that God hears your prayer? Amen. God hears your prayer in your closet at home. He hears your prayer when you're driving down the road. He hears your prayer no matter where you are. And the Lord says, listen, you've got to have a time when you are calling out and you are relating with me and no one sees it. Luke chapter 5 says these words about Jesus. It says that when people were coming to him by the masses, as he healed people, and his crowd went from being 15 or 30, was now going to hundreds. When the pressure of life turned up on him, here's what Jesus, what the word says, that in those contexts that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places. That's what it said in Luke chapter 5. Let me tell you something. Jesus walked into planet Earth already 100% God, which he did, right? He didn't need any help becoming God. When he was born, he was it. He was 100% man, but he was also 100% God. If the God of the universe found out that he needed times to withdraw to lonely places to communicate with the Heavenly Father, how much more do you and I need to be retreating regularly to find time of prayer with our Heavenly Father? Jesus knew that his victory on the field, his victory preaching to many and multitudes and healing the sick and all these things he did, he knew it was directly tied to his personal relationship with his Father. One person shared a story a few years ago. He had gone to help on a Billy Graham crusade. And this pastor who was helping with this crusade was actually also part of the choir. And the night before this crusade was going to take place, they were in Sacramento, California. And the night before this crusade was going on, the worship team and the choir was up at the stadium practicing late into the night, trying to get everything just right for the crusade the next day, when there would be thousands of people lined up to hear them sing and hear Billy Graham preach. And the pastor stayed late, his last person locked up, and he's going home, and it's late in the night, probably around midnight. And he was driving through town, and he glanced up at the state capitol building, and he noticed there was a homeless man spending the night on the capitol steps of that building. And he drove on by, and it was cold outside, and he thought, man, what kind of preacher am I if I just see that guy having to sleep on the steps and I do nothing about it? So he turned around and he walked up the steps and tapped on the man's shoulder, who was bent over in like a cocoon state, and he tried to wake the man up and say, hey, can I help you? And when the man lifted his face, he realized it was not a homeless person at all. It was actually Billy Graham, who was spending the night in prayer over that crusade. Now, I don't know of a person in America who's transformed the landscape of our nation like that man has. But even that man understood this. It wasn't about the great performance he gave on Friday night. It was about the prayer time he had with the Lord that no one saw on Thursday night. He understood this, that victory happens off the field. And friends, we got to have some times with the Lord where it's just me and the Lord and you and the Lord, where you are communing with him and you're drawing strength from him when no one knows about it. And I know this might be different from you, and you think, Pastor, this is old school, this is basic. It's not a matter of is it old school or is it basic. The question is, are we doing it today? Amen? Because victory happens off the field. You know, one of the things I love about this church is that we are a off-the-field praying church. You know, there's a group of men that gather every Sunday morning at 8:30, and I would challenge every man in the room, come join us right down in the kids' area. Every morning at 8:30, there's a group of men praying. At 9:15, there's a group of ladies praying. On Tuesday, there's people praying. Well, when I first started talking to some of the folks here at the church about taking the pastorate, I actually, don't tell anybody, but I actually called the former pastor and said, give me the scoop. Now, you can call that sneaky or smart. It's up to you. But I'll tell you, here's what the former pastor said to me about this church. He said, they're the most prayingest people I've ever met in my life. What a compliment to this church. But I can tell you that, I can tell you this, that is the secret of everything great that God will ever do in this place, is when you and I decide, you know what, victory doesn't happen in the fanfare. It happens when you and I are serious with God, and we get down on our knees and we meet with God on a regular basis. See, I want to tell you, the depth of our relationship with God is not measured by the exploits we do. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 that on the day of judgment, there's going to be people who stand before him, and they're going to say things like this to Jesus. Well, Lord, we cast out demons in your name. We did mighty miracles in your name. And the word says that in that day, Jesus will say these words, I never knew you, so depart from me. I don't know about you, but that kind of scares me. The fact that God's power can flow through us without us really knowing him. See, real victory it's not measured by how loud we shout. Now, don't get me wrong, I love to hear you shout. I could use some of that shouting right now, by the way. But it's not measured by the exploits. It's measured by the relationship we have when no one's watching. Amen? Jesus had all the pressures we had, but he had time. He took time to focus on the Lord off the field. Secondly, today, we got to dig into his word off the field. You know, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The second thing I want to say to you this morning is this, is that the height of our success, speaking of victory happening off the field, the height of your victory, the level of your spiritual victory is directly tied to your depth in God's word. Now think about this. The Apostle Paul, most people believe that 2 Timothy was the last, if not one of the last books of the Bible that Paul wrote. So in other words, it was sort of like his last will and testimony to Timothy. And in that book, in his final words to this young apprentice, this man that Paul is trying to mentor in the faith, one of his last words to Timothy was this: listen, friend, if you're going to be successful in the ministry or in your walk with God, then you've got to understand that the depth or the height of your success is completely tied to your relationship with God's word. And I want to tell you the same is true for us this morning. It's not about how much of God's word have I heard. It's about how much of God's word, as the psalmist said, have I really hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's what the psalmist said. Remember when David said that? David said that in the context of personal failure. But he knew that getting God's word in his heart would cause him to be immune to a lot of the things that the world was throwing his way. I'll never forget when I started preaching. This is probably 20 years ago. I was a really young man then. I mean, I know y'all think I'm young now, but I was really young then. And this old preacher, which now that I'm calling him an old preacher, he may have only been 30 years old, but he just seemed old because I was so young. But this old preacher came up to a group of us younger preachers who were just getting started. And we were talking about how to be, you know, great and good and be our best for God. And this gentleman walked up to us and he said, guys, I want you to know something. You can't live off the smell of baked bread. And he walked away. I thought, what does that mean? I can't live off the smell of baked bread. Here's the thing. Let me talk to every life group leader, every parent in the room, every grandparent, every person that's trying to point someone towards Jesus Christ. Let me talk to every preacher in the building. Us preparing God's word for moments like this, us preparing God's word to share with our kids, our preparation cannot be a substitute for our own digestion of God's word. We've got to feed ourselves the word of God because, friends, our victory is dependent not upon the word of God we know, but the word of God we have activated in our hearts because we're taking it in on a daily basis. Amen? We must not be a spiritual anemic people. But that's what happens if all of our interaction with God's word is about preparing it for someone else, then we do ourselves a disservice. We got to understand victory happens off the field. I can remember to this day waking up in the early mornings, and I don't know if I've shared this before, but this is just part of my legacy. And I'm going to talk, by the way, next week we're starting a new series on families. And one of the weeks we're going to talk about a family's legacy. One of my legacies as a son is on a regular basis, I would wake up sometimes too early. I'd wake up before my alarm clock would go off. And I'd walk into the living room, and both of my parents would have the Bible cracked open in a notebook, praying and writing the Word of God. And my parents weren't preachers. My mother was a church secretary. My dad was a deacon, but they were business people. They were professional people. But they knew this, that their relationship with God was directly connected to the Word of God. And when I saw them doing that as a kid, I just thought, that's what they do. Didn't really grab my attention. But now that I look back, friends, that grabs my attention. It causes me to say, Lord, let my girls catch me off the field, investing in the Word of God. Lord, let my kids catch me doing things that no one sees. See, friends, I know this, and I hope you do too. The next generation is not going to follow Jesus because of what I preach on Sunday. They're going to live for Jesus because of the life we live Monday through Saturday. So amen? So this service, this cannot be our only interaction with the Word of God. It's got to be something we hide in our heart every single day. And I looked up that word, hide. You know how you hide something? What do you do with it? You cover it up with something else, right? And when we take the Word of God in our life, we need to work that thing through. We need to cover up with other stuff of our life and work it together and mix it up and apply it with application and say, Lord, I'm going to let the Word of God work in me. I'm not just going to deposit it in one compartment, but I'm going to let it work in me till it works through me. Thirdly, today, we've got to understand that we've got to focus on God's purpose even when we're off the field. There is a game tonight. I don't know what time it starts, but I do know this. The men that you see playing football tonight, if you watch it, are not guys who occasionally thought, hey, y'all want to go to practice today? I'll tell you what, let's do this. Let's go practice, and then after that, let's go to that pizza buffet down the street because I heard it's really good. And then if we have time, we feel like we'll go back and practice. If not, no. These guys who we watched tonight, they are extremely focused individuals. You know, Jesus was the same way. In Luke chapter 9, verse number 51, the Bible says, as time drew near for him to ascend to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. In other words, Jesus was focused from the time he was a kid. Matter of fact, we find out when he was just a 12-year-old boy, his parents lost him, and they were confused of how he got lost, and Jesus responded to him, didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business? That's what Jesus said as a 12-year-old boy. As a 12-year-old boy, he was already focused on God's purpose. It wasn't something he did occasionally. It was something that worked through his life, and the same must be true for you and I. I looked up some factoids, and no one boo me off the stage, please, if this isn't your team. But I looked up some factoids about Tom Brady. I'm actually kind of hoping he at least does pretty good because he and I are about the same age, and I figure if he can do it, then I can do it, right? But there's something he and I have different, several things, but. Let me just say these things too, all right? In addition to those other things, I'll skip some of these. You know, here's one thing we have different. He goes to sleep every night, or most nights, at 8:30 p.m. So he can be up to practice at 5 o'clock and give his very best. Most of the year, he lives his life as a vegan. He eats nothing but just salads and, you know, all that healthy stuff like some of you weirdos in the room do. occasionally, some whole grains and greens. Some of the stuff he eats I can't even pronounce. So he'll eat smoothies and it's all about that. He works 90% of the time. He works out. He's not just practicing, but he's practicing with weights on his ankles and weights on his arm. It's all about resistance training, which is kind of sort of unheard of in most athletes in the NFL. There was, as you know, he was not able to play for a while. We won't talk about that. But even during the season he wasn't able to play, the folks said he was training even harder in the off season than he was the own season. What am I saying? I'm just saying that if people in this life can be super focused on a crown that doesn't last and that fades so quickly, shouldn't you and I be focused on a crown that will last forever and that will never fade and that will be with us through eternity until we lay it at the feet of Jesus? Amen? But we've got to focus. Paul said like this to Timothy. He said, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs so that he may please his commanding officer who sent him. Jesus said words like this: I don't do anything on my own, but I only do what I see my Father doing. What were both of these men of God saying? They were saying, my whole life is not about myself. It's focused on the Father. And we, as believers, if we really believe that victory happens off the field when it comes to our spiritual life as well, we cannot, and friends, hear me, I'm going to close pretty quickly. We cannot make the mistake of believing that our life with the Father is some compartment of our life. But living for God is meant to consume every part of our life. Amen? That's why when we do water baptism, that's one of the significances of water baptism. It celebrates the fact that we are completely submerged into Christ. We die with Christ and then we raise with him once again. It's not a partial thing. It's a complete thing. Amen? But I feel like as one of the reasons we're losing our victory as the church of God is that we are just we're grabbing hold of this partial Christianity. Instead of really surrendering to say, Lord, my life is yours. My life is yours. Fourth, this morning, Megan, if you want to come, the fourth thing I want to say to you before we pray today is this. Realize that Jesus sees what happens off the field. Look at Matthew chapter 6 again. He says this phrase twice. I'll just read the latter part. Verse number 4, it says, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. He says it again, not just about our giving, but about our prayer time as well. Here's the thing. Jesus sees everything that is done in secret. Matter of fact, another point of scripture, he says this, what is done in secret will later be known publicly, by the way. This is in my notes, but I'll give it to you anyway. Did you know there's no such thing? This phrase is a farce. There is no such thing as secret sin. No such thing as secret sin. Oh, Pastor, I knew this guy. He had this secret sin. Yeah, he had one, but guess what? It didn't say a secret, right? There is no such thing as secret sin. Eventually, your secret sin is going to be public knowledge. Okay? And that's basically what Jesus says. But it's not, and we kind of own that. We kind of realize that. But I also want you to know that what you do for God in secret, also, it will not stay secret. Matter of fact, it's never secret because God sees it. And here's the best part. Not only does he see it, he says, and he will. Say this with me, he will. Say it again, he will. He will reward you. Amen? God sees what is done off the field. He saw Nathan when he was under a tree trying to decide to surrender or not. He saw a widow drop two little coins in the offering basket no one else saw. In Revelation, we find out there were seven churches that had issues under the surface that no one knew about, but guess what? Jesus saw them. Jesus knows the behind the scenes, under the radar thing. And I want to close by asking this question this morning. What is happening in your life off the field? Pastor, are you talking about sin? Sure. Pastor, are you talking about my personal discipleship, spending time with the Lord? Sure. The question is, what's happening off the field or what's not happening off the field? Because victory will be determined by what happens off the field. Your spiritual victory will be determined by what happens off the field. I want to ask you this morning to take your eyes for just a second off of all the stuff that people see. Here's what I've discovered. You can convince a whole lot of people that things are perfect in your life and things be a complete train wreck. I know because I've done it before. But you know, off the field, you know whether you're being haunted or applauded by the Spirit of God because of what's taking on place off the field. So I want to ask you, bow your heads this morning, close your eyes. We're going to pray in just a minute. Just two questions before we go. Question number one is, what is happening off the field in your life right now? Is the person you proclaim to be really the person you are in private? And if not, let's commit to God. Let's submit to His will and say, Lord, take Your word, take Your will, take Your desire, and work it all the way through my life until what I say I am is really what I am, because You're flowing in me and through me this morning. And if you need that to happen this morning, in just a minute, I'm going to ask you to pray with me that that is exactly what will happen. Secondly, this morning, I want to talk to some mature believers this morning. I want to talk to some believers. You've been walking with the Lord. Some of you have been walking with the Lord for a decade or more. And I want to ask you, what's happening off the field? Is your Sunday morning presence the result of private devotion? Or have you, like Galatians says, become weary in well-doing, and you're actually just a shell of what you used to be? And the Lord is telling you, listen, if you want your victory back, get back into my word. If you want your victory back, get back into my presence. If you want your victory back, get back into doing the things that you know bring victory to your life. Those aren't found in public. They're found in the private moments of your life. Friends, all of us in this room, no one more than me, our victory in this life is not based upon the things that people applaud. It's based on what we do when no one is looking, and we give worship and honor to God, and we say, Father, my whole life is about You. My whole life is surrendered to You. And Lord, I know victory happens off the field, so I'm going to make it a priority to meet with You off the field, to discover You off the field, to worship You off the field, to share You off the field. Because that's where real victory happens. And today, I want us to be a church of real victory, where people continue to have their lives changed, and bondages are released, and people are set free, and salvation discovered on a weekly basis like it's been. But friends, we've got to understand that all that is tied to not what we do on Sunday mornings alone. It is what we do every day of our life, because God can bring victory to every part of your life. But you got to understand, it doesn't happen in the moment of crisis. It happens in the moment of our choices, choosing to respond to the Spirit leading us into times of prayer, into times of His word, into times of sharing our faith. And I would just challenge you, when the Spirit speaks, respond to Him, because victory happens off the field. You hear this morning, say, Pastor, today I'm just choosing. I'm going to choose what Jesus said. I'm going to choose to understand that my real source of strength comes from Him. And so therefore, I'm going to choose to worship Him when no one's looking. Sure, I'm going to worship when everyone is looking, but when no one's looking, I'm still going to worship Him. I'm going to pray when everyone else is, but you know, when no one else is, I'm still going to pray, because I understand victory happens off the field. If you'll embrace that truth with me this morning, would you stand with me all across this room today? And can we just close in a time of worship Him together today? We lift your hearts and your hands to the Lord and say, Father, I just commit myself fresh and new to worshiping You. Lord, in private and in public, Lord, I want to seek You in private and in public. Lord, I want to know You. Lord, I want to pass on my faith. And God, understand that's not just about what I proclaim in the public moments of my life, but it's also how I live in the private moments of my life. Lord, I want our lives to be defined by victory in Jesus. And Lord, all of that is directly tied to not just the public persona, but Lord, it's also about our private devotion to You. So God, I pray each of us will be a person, we'll be a people completely, wholeheartedly devoted to You, because we know victory happens off the field. God, we make that choice. We surrender that to You this morning. We do that today. in Jesus' name. So, Father, now, bless this people. God, I pray as they leave this place, they will not leave your presence. But, Lord, they will take the Holy Spirit with them and respond to you. Lord, I pray the private moments of their life this week, they'll respond to you. Lord, as you nudge them to get into the Word, they'll respond to that. As you nudge them to spend some moments in worship, they'll respond to that. As you nudge them to get into times of prayer, they'll respond to that. And Lord, as they do that, Lord, I pray you'll bless them and keep them. Let your face shine upon them and give them strength and peace both now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Give the Lord a hand clap today. Amen. Thank you for being at the assembly. Consider yourselves dismissed. Shake somebody's hand. Give them a high five before you leave. God bless you. Join a life group tonight at 5 o'clock.